Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Jen Lozano, and I will be your host today. I believe that today's podcast is going to be a great source of encouragement for each of you. Today, I have joining me Neil and Janet Lozano. And at the time that we are recording this podcast, it's right after Christmas. So I thought maybe I'd start with a little welcome, Mom and Dad, first of all. Glad you guys could join me. But also, since we're right after Christmas, what was a highlight for the both of you?
Well, I would say the highlight for me is just having the entire family on Christmas Eve for dinner, opening presents, and just that time to be together at a celebration of the birth of Jesus. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was mine too, except I have a little bit of a story. I was in charge of making sure the roast was the right temperature. And we had different size roasts, so it wasn't so simple to do. But I was squatted down in front of the oven, and I was just very impressed with how well I could get down there these days. But standing up is a little different. So I stood up, and I was a little wobbly, and I tripped over the oven door and stumbled across the kitchen, and I just wish I had a picture of everybody's faces as they watched me stumble across. But I want to just give thanks that I didn't have a knife in my hands, and and I didn't fall to the ground. I was able to catch myself, and it's probably one of the most memorable parts of Christmas for a lot of my family as they watched me stumble across the room.
It was like Gappy in slow motion. Falling across the kitchen tile floor. Is he going to be okay? And the angels were there.
Yes.
As I'm sure they have been many times in your life, right, Dad?
Yes, I've had a few of those times.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight for us, too, that you were okay after that little minor accident. Very fun Christmas at Gami and Gappy's this year. It's kind of neat because the grandchildren are growing, but we still have a set that are young and so enthusiastic about the gift opening. And I mean, I don't think I've seen them eat pizza as fast as they have, because it's not until after they eat pizza that they get to open the presents.
Impressive. But as more of them are growing up, there's less chaos, less paper everywhere. It's just things are changing year by year.
I keep hoping for less chaos, but it seems like the older ones wrestle still. So I don't know. And their bodies are so big. I'm like, be careful of Gami's tray.
Some of the little ones, I don't know who gave them lightsabers, but that was going on at the end of the night, too.
Oh, I think we had left already, but that definitely was me. Sorry, Mom. That was a godmother gift to one of the nephews. Anyway, back on track. So we're at the end of the year, and 2023 was a very special year. First, Neil and Janet celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, which we talked about. But also, we haven't really mentioned this a whole lot. Unbound also had a special anniversary. It was 20 years ago that Unbound was first printed and put into publication. And so we're celebrating Unbound's 20th anniversary, which is pretty amazing. Unbound was published in 2003. It has well over 350,000 copies in print and is in 21 languages as of today. And I don't even know how many ebooks. Does that include ebooks?
That includes.
Okay, that includes e-publication as well. So it has gone all over the world, as many of you know, and God has just done amazing things. So prompted by this anniversary and some conversation that Neil and Janet have had with friends throughout the year, we thought it would be really great to start 2024, which is when you'll hear this podcast, with a look back at the history of Unbound and Heart of the Father. which we've done in different ways, but especially to honor and celebrate what the Lord has done in this past 20 years. So I know at the conference, Dad, in particular, you talk about each of us having a small story and breaking out of our small stories into the bigger story of what God's doing. And Unbound is certainly a big part of God's story for us. But I think a great place to start would be the small story. And if maybe you and Mom would start at the beginning and when you first came to know Jesus as Lord.
Well, and I look back, I really think about it as God's mercy and his initiative. The whole process was something that he did step by step. We didn't know where we were going, and things just unfolded in his plan for us, but also his plan for so many others that have received mercy and freedom through Unbound Ministry. So, of course, I know I need to make this brief, but of course you have to go back to the very beginning, God's call on your life and those incidences where you had a sense of his presence, or there's so many different things that I could share. But the real turning point of my story was when my father died, and I was only 21 years old. And it was in that moment, and the 6 months that followed, that I realized that I really didn't have faith. I presumed I did, because I was in a family of faith, and I went to church, and I just presumed that I knew everything. But that his death shook my reality. I realized I didn't have the answers to life, death, eternity, answers that I really needed to have. So not knowing it, I was searching. And that, now I'm just going to share briefly without detail, because I've shared it many, many times, how the Lord just kind of entered and revealed himself to me in a magnificent, unexpected way. I was in my home. My cousin, Father Mike, was over. And I didn't know how to ask the questions that were really on my heart. I just asked him, could you explain the Mass to me again so I get something out of it for a while? And he said something he never had said before. He said, if you don't know God when you go into Mass, you'll never understand what's happening. And in that moment, that's where that realization of my lack of faith was. And after he leaned over, he started praying for me. I experienced God's presence in the den of my house. I experienced this rush of love up the back of my neck and into my head, and a sense of joy. And I knew I'd never be the same again. The next thing that happened, you know, skipping a couple months, I was back at school at Villanova, and I really wanted God to be close again. And it seemed like he was far away. So I prayed, and I had people pray with me, and I just didn't know. I said, how is it that I could have met him like that? How could I have been so close? And then he wasn't there in the same way. And what happened is I knelt down by my bed, and I said to the Lord, Lord, everything I've done in my life I've done halfway, but I don't want to follow you halfway. I choose you as my Lord, and I will follow you as your disciple. And a few moments later, his presence returned. And that combination of Jesus coming to me as a savior, almost not even asking the right questions, but then waiting for me to make that response was so essential, and it's become a foundation for my life in terms of evangelization. So that's how God works with me. He takes me through things. I learn them by doing. So that's briefly my story. Jen, can you tell some of yours?
Yes. So I grew up in a large family with a mom and dad who had faith. We always went to church. And my mom in particular, also with 9 kids, sometimes went to daily Mass. I just remember her as really into her faith. And I remember growing up, went to Catholic school, went to Mass every Sunday. And I do remember a time, maybe when I was in like about fourth grade or so, of being drawn to going to Mass with my mom, even before school. So I feel like there was a touch of God in my life. But as I got older, through high school and in college, I never walked away or felt like I didn't have faith, but that knowing that personal love of God and my responding to him was what was missing for me. Well, what happened was I met this good-looking guy on campus who shared with me about the Lord and this prayer meeting that he was leading on campus. And so I went with him to the prayer meeting, and God began to draw me closer to him at that time. And it was really interesting. I called home and spoke with my mom, and she said, when I described the prayer meeting to her, she said, "That's really interesting because I've started going to a prayer meeting here on Long Island," really similar. To make a longer story short, when I went home for the summer, my mom invited me to her prayer meeting where I was invited to pray a prayer to surrender my heart to Jesus. And I did that. And looking back in the moment, I don't know if it was this deep longing for the Lord so much as, well, the little bit of pressure. I'm here with my mom. This is what I should do. But God took that, yes. And I remember waking up the next morning and just feeling like, yes, something had really changed in my life. And I think for me, what it was I was struggling with my life, with feeling fit in, with feeling chosen. I think my life changed because I became part of that prayer group, part of a lot of my friends came. And so now I had a group where I felt like I had friendships. I had with people with a common heart, as well as a purpose. I felt like God had given me a purpose because we really did a lot to evangelize on campus. So yeah, so my story took me a little more time to grow in that, you know, just experiencing God's love for me and responding to him out of my love for him. But I felt like it was more of a gradual process and a true change.
So I have one question. Who was that good-looking guy?
It was a dad.
Neil Lozano.
Yeah, I don't have to be jealous.
Oh, that's great. I love, I think it's really important to point out for listeners the dichotomy of your stories where dad had this radical yes, like, God, I'm going to do it all for you. And mom, yours wasn't quite as radical. In fact, there was some uncertainty in it. But you both said yes, you both responded, and that was all God needed to come in and do what he wanted to do. That's so amazing. So I was also in there somewhere, met, fall in love, get married, but then God starts to use you in this prayer group. And I think that's the next part of the story you want to share. So you want to take that?
Yeah, so during that time, there was just an amazing outpouring of God's grace. Prayer groups started to spring up everywhere. Communities started to spring up throughout the country and throughout the world. A lot of them just totally independent, without learning from somebody else. It was just a move of the Spirit of God meeting people where they're at in the times they were in. And I remember our prayer group, we would have two classes going on at the same time, about 30 people just wanting to learn about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and this new thing that God was doing. And so it was very exciting. And during that time, I visited the Word of God community in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I stayed in a guest house. And that had a deep impact upon my life because I could see people sharing their lives, wanting to support one another and being devoted to God and to live lives of holiness. And to me, it was just, that's the way it was supposed to be. And later on, I was trying to convince other people at home, and I know Janet went out with me to visit the community again, and the seeds were planted in her heart and a few others, but it just was kind of something I carried for probably close to 2 years, year and a half. And gradually we had two single people moved in with us, and a married couple moved across the street, and we'd be praying together weekly, and then we moved into a house together, and we knew God called us to be a community. But there was a certain time that we didn't know what he called us, what our name was. So we spent some time praying about, Lord, what do you call us? What is our name? Who are we to you? I had no inspiration. I often think now, I wonder why. I wonder it might be that the future name of Heart of the Father Ministries is really what was within me. So we were this maybe 12, 13 gathered in our living room. And one of the members spoke up and said, I believe the Lord calls us the House of God's Light community. And it seemed to be affirmed by everybody. And a few moments later, Janet spoke up, something kind of surprising.
So we were actually not just discussing it, we were in the midst of praying together and really praying for what the Lord would call us. And when, I don't remember who the person was that said, House of God's Light, but I remember I spoke up and said that House of God's Light, this light is going to go from here to the city and from the city to the nations. And that just seemed to be an affirming word to everybody in the room. To me, it was just what came to me and what I said out of, you know, praying. I didn't understand it, but as I look back, it definitely was a word from the Lord for what he was going to do over the next number of years.
And I have to confess that I met that word with a little disbelief, thinking, looking around our living room, seeing this beat up band of would-be servants, and thinking, okay, the city, nations, and but now looking back, it was just like, wow.
I love to just to point out just what Mom said, that you were praying and seeking, and even just as you guys are sharing, this is the beginning of House of God's Light and community for the two of you and for your prayer group, but I can see how God was building something even then, you know, as you were praying and seeking him. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but even community and having people come and live in your home, I'm sure you'll share this in a few minutes, but you were starting to see that people were coming to you to find a place to be loved, to belong, to experience the Lord, but they also needed something more. And even that was the foundation and the sprinkling for Unbound. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happens after community begins and where did God take you from there?
Well, I think the next step was we began an outreach to college students. We knew that we were a certain age, and if we didn't reach out to younger people, we wouldn't exist for very long. And so myself and Janet on the home front with the children and a couple others, we started this outreach to Villanova University to work with college students. And, you know, during that time, I think I learned a lot about helping people that struggled, both within community, but also with students that may come to know Jesus, have a conversion, and then a few months later having all these crises. And so it was our limited experience. We were helping, but we were learning. And, you know, it's so great to think about those years, because many of those young people, not so young anymore, have become lifelong friends and ministry partners that serve in Heart of the Father Ministries and in other ways through the community and through their different churches. I'd say the next stage was communities went through crisis. Almost you know, some were a lot more zealous and a lot more established and a lot more formed than ours. But I think we all kind of suffered from what I would later call the older brother syndrome. We had a banner in our house that was the prodigal son. And I always thought of myself as the prodigal. And then I began to realize that my heart was more like the older brother. And it really happened at a conference where we were singing these songs to God, expressing our love, and I began to weep, and the Lord just melted my heart and started to change me. And I started to realize that I was more like the older brother than the prodigal at that time. Now I understand that we're always both, and God's always working at the hardness of our hearts, but he's also working on calling us home from the ways that we choose to go. So one of the ways of describing the crisis is that we were zealously serving the Lord. We wanted to live for him. We wanted to do the right thing. We just worked really hard trying to do the right thing. So it was less and less grace and more willpower, more and more learning and effort and less grace. And so when that happens in a Christian group, there needs to be a bringing down and a raising up. And so I would say that that is another level of conversion that we needed to go through. And many other people, as they grow, go through that same conversion. So during this time, we began to really seek after the Lord and his mercy and the simplicity of loving him and being loved by him. And we went to a conference. And at that conference, I think it was in Baltimore, there was a man with prophetic gifts that was praying for the leaders. And so Janet and I and many others lined up and gave him an opportunity to speak into our lives. And this man spoke a very surprising and unexpected thing to Janet, which is such an important word for our lives. So Janet, would you share what he spoke to you?
Yes. So this was someone who seemed to have a particular gift to pray with people and in a prophetic word, speak about what their gifting or their anointing was. So I remember when it was my turn coming up and he put his hand up against mine and he said that my gifting was that the Lord was going to use me for deliverance ministry. And I remember specifically the words that he used. He said, when they get free, you are one who's going to help them to stay free. And I want you to lay up that intercession. He was just really emphasizing how if we're going to minister with the Lord, for the Lord, whatever, that we really need to be in a humble place of interceding for what God is going to do. But I remember walking away from him and that session, and I was just clueless. I was like, I don't know what he was talking about. I mean, at that time, what our mission was, what our goal was raising our family and serving in the house of God's light, in this community that the Lord had given us to raise up and to love people through. So this idea of deliverance ministry was like, okay, Lord.
I had no desire to have to work in deliverance. It was not something attractive to me. I had a lot of false understandings about it. And I thought, that's fine. Janet will get involved in deliverance. But I think one of the things you said about laying up intercession, I remember in the first early years of learning about Unbound, you were there with me interceding many, many hours. So I think that word really connects, you know, in a really significant way.
It's so funny to me that hearing that part of the story and how neither of you had any idea, interest or desire for deliverance ministry. You know, it's like, isn't that so the Lord and how he works? Like just taking what we think isn't going to be the right fit or, you know, the right mold for something and just using that. So,
yeah, I do think though that what was on our hearts was loving other people, of having compassion for others, particularly as we're living together with people in the same house, you know? So I think in a way, it's just an overflow of that, you know, God led us. Here's a tool that'll help.
Yeah. Dad used the same word earlier of helping those who were coming, you know, in front of you, whether it was through outreach or in community. And I was thinking, like, and there's the Father's heart, you know, like, God doesn't want us to stay stuck where we are, and he wants to come and rescue and to help us. And hearing both of you use the word helping, it was the Father's heart breaking through and getting you guys prepared and ready. It's really beautiful. Well, I think this might be a great spot to take a break. This podcast, because the stories, it spans over many decades, we decided to share it in two podcasts. So we're going to take a break here and leave you with those words, surprising and unexpected, just to leave you hanging a little bit. And we will be back next week with the second part of the story. And I think my only announcement for you this week is, and I'll share this again next week, is we are back at it in the end of January. I think it's the 25th or the 26th. Matt and I will be in Austin, Texas for a Freedom in Christ conference. So registration is up and open on our website. Share it with a friend. It's an easy place to travel to. So help us spread the word, and we will see you next week. God bless.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.